You listen to 247 Real Talk. This is your host, Julian Perry. And for this episode, I have an amazing guest. She created the Mogul TV Global Network to offer television programming that showcases culture, legacy, and diversity. She partnered with Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and soon to come Apple. Mogul TV Global Network app is available to over 100 million viewers. I'll be right back with Tamika Chapman. So good evening, Tamika. Welcome to 247 Real Talk. Thank you for joining and being a guest on my podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Julian. I appreciate it. I'm excited to have a conversation with you today.
I am very excited, too. And I read your resume, and I'm sure my audience is, they're all perked up and want to hear about, you know, more about this amazing, or these amazing accomplishments. But before we get there, you know, I always kind of want to familiarize myself and my audience with the guests. So why don't you start off telling us a little, you know, bit about Tamika, you know, where you're born and, you know, how you grew up, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So I was born in a little country town in Louisiana. And it's Natchitoches. It's a little city called Natchitoches. But it's in a place where, you know, you grew up with, surrounded by your cousins. Everybody kind of knew everybody. So nobody was a stranger, and it was that kind of growing up that I think molded me into becoming who I am, you know, being able to be social and looking out for each other the way that we're supposed to be as humans. But a little bit about me, I love to read, I love to journal, I have a lot of creativity inside of me, so I like doing a number of things. I have a good bit of ways that I love to relax. In doing just something creative. So you can always find me just relaxing on any good day when I'm not working. I'm always relaxing, finding ways to spend time with my family, creating memories and experiences. But I'm just a creative person who loves to, you know, just have a good time. That really is who I am. But I love also having good conversations. Like, that's just the top of the top. If you can get me with a good conversation, we can talk for hours.
Okay, so let's begin the journey. What came first, the paralegal specialist or the Navy?
Well, the Navy came first. The Navy actually. The funny thing about that is, I actually joined the Navy. I enlisted in the U.S. Navy in the buddy program, the buddy system program, with my best friend in high school. The funny part of that is, we actually left for boot camp on different days. So we were not in the buddy program as we initially signed up, but I joined the U.S. Navy back in 1996 after graduating high school.
Okay. And I guess you just did what, a 6-year stint and then?
No, actually, initially I enlisted for 3 years. And so it was a 3-year initial enlistment, and I did my 3 years, and I felt that that was no longer the thing that I should be doing. I stayed seasick. The Navy should not have been the branch of service that I enlisted, but I will say that I enjoyed my time serving while I was in. But yeah, every time we left port, I stayed sick. I was in medical every single time the ship moved or rocked or anything. And so I did my initial 3-year enlistment, and yeah, it was a wrap for me.
Okay, so we come out of the Navy and we figure out, what are we going to do next? Is that when you started the career as the paralegal specialist?
That is. You know, so I met and married my husband back in 1999, and he was still in the military when we married, and so he stayed in for some years later, and I kind of had to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? What is it that I really want to be doing? And so I knew that I did not go the traditional route of all of my high school classmates. You know, after high school, they went to college. And by now, they are young adults and they are, you know, they have their jobs, their entry-level jobs and stuff like that. But I didn't go that route. I went from high school directly into the military. And so I needed to figure out what I wanted to do, what education did I need in order to secure that position, and how was I going to get that education. And so that's when I went down the whole rabbit hole of what am I going to do? And I knew I had two passions. One was math or numbers, and the other was the law, the legal system. I'm a big NCIS fan. I decided to go and be a paralegal. I decided that paralegal would be the way that I would go. I looked at the career field and I was like, oh, there's a lot of growth here. There's a lot of different ways that I can go with this. And so I went to school at a community college, got my associate's degree, and I actually got hired on before I actually graduated with that 2-year degree program. And that was the beginning of a good journey, a great journey in the paralegal world, and to the point that I have a 15-year paralegal career before I resigned in 2020.
Okay, so now we're going to start getting to the juicy part. I'm sure my audience is saying, come on, let's get to it. So you resigned. Now, mm-hmm. I can already tell that you just didn't get up one day and resign. You resigned because you had a plan. Tell me about the plan.
Yeah. So that stems back into me just being creative. You know, even while I had the 9-to-5, I was always doing my own thing outside of work. So I had written books. I was a part of book projects. I was doing graphic design work for a lot of people. I launched my own programs. I had conferences about women's empowerment. I was doing everything, anything and everything outside of my 9-to-5, anything that I could do. And, you know, there's a number of reasons why I did all of that, which we can talk about later. But there wasn't necessarily a quick jump into doing anything. I think you have to always have some kind of plan, even if the plan does not go the way you want it to go. You should always have some kind of plan of what it is that you're aiming for so that at least you have a direction. And so for me, I actually wanted to resign back in 2019. In 2019, I actually wanted to resign that fall, but things happened and it just didn't align for me to actually put in my 2 weeks notice to say I was actually leaving. But I do believe that when you are meant to be doing something, there are circumstances and there are a lot of things that will happen that will push you into your direction of purpose. And that's actually what happened. I was already prepared. I already talked to my husband about it and I said, hey, you know, it's time for me to go. And so I think I was wrestling with it more than he was. But there are some things that happened that pushed me, that made me say, okay, now is really my time to go. And I would say being in a place where you're really not appreciated, you're more tolerated because you can get the work done. You can help out in many ways. That was really a big push for me of not feeling appreciated, not feeling or feeling that I had to go over and beyond just to earn and have the respect of others that I work with. But that definitely was my plan of, This is what I want to do. And I will say that actually before I resigned, I actually had already began my journey into what I'm doing right now. There was definitely a plan. And I was already in motion with my plan before I resigned.
So tell us about the plan.
So the plan, was to actually become, the founder of my own network. And I would say that in mid-2020, I actually hosted a vision board party. And at that vision board party, on my vision board, I actually put down owning my own network that would be all about women's empowerment, touching, you know, women all across the globe and supporting them, providing positivity and a light, becoming a beacon for them as they're going through their obstacles or whatever life challenge that they are going through at that time. And so that was my goal. My goal was to become the owner of something that was just positive. With so much negativity that we're totally seeing on TV nowadays, with so much negativity that we're surrounded by, with our own lives at times that can be depressing moments that happen, hearing about depressing things that are happening, I want to be able to provide some positivity, something good for people to want to, you know, be a part of or hear or listen or see. And so that was the biggest plan for me. That was my plan. On my birthday month of September 2020, I made the move and I became a channel owner on a different network. And it allowed me to have my foot in the door to now really engulf myself into this entire industry as a stepping stone. And a year later, I decided that now is the time for me to make the shift into owning my own network, because now I will have more of a full-time way of pushing out the content that I really wanted to push out in a way that hadn't been done before. But it's just positive programming 24/7. We only want to push out positivity in whatever it is that we do. And so the plan was to own a network, push out positive programming that's going to empower men and women around the globe.
So this is, let me get my thoughts together here, because I'm sure that everyone who listens, you know, everyone in my audience who has a podcast, whether it be like mine, all audio or, you know, YouTube or video podcasts, has a bunch of creativity in their mind. I find it incredible that, you know, this whole journey of owning a TV network, and I need, you know, for people who are coming out of probably the most incredible time that we've all spent in our lifetime, this crazy pandemic that has changed lives forever. And we're finding that as we emerge, we're emerging not, you know, to a new normal. And opportunities are there for people who were forced to pause to go in a different direction, to you know, to become entrepreneurs, to live out a dream. So, you know, be the teacher. Tell us, you started off by saying you became, I can't remember your verbiage correctly, but you said something about becoming a part of a TV ownership. It sounded like sort of a group thing or a membership thing before branching out on your own. Am I correct?
Well, you can put it in that term for people to understand it. Absolutely. But there was another network that that does the same thing that I am doing in terms of pushing out content. But I was able to buy into that network by owning a sub channel. And that way I could put content on that sub channel. I was a part of a lot of other people that either owned a sub channel doing what I did and putting content on their sub channel. That was the first step into the media industry. Now I will say that 2 years prior to that, probably right after I had the vision board party, I had an opportunity to be a part of a different type of environment, but I didn't feel that was the right opportunity for me. So I sat on it. And sometimes, you know, procrastination can get in the way a little bit, or not being sure about something can get in the way. But I didn't feel that was the right opportunity at that time. But, it was, if you want to, you know, explain it that way, you can say it's like a part of a membership that you're paying into, and you get to put content, you know, put some content out there for what it is that you're doing or want to show to the world.
Mm-hmm. And now, so let's get into that detail. So tell us, number one, What kind of investment are you talking about to, you know, to become a sub channel? And when you do become a sub channel, what, you know, what methodology did you use to attract shows to your channel?
Got it. And so I will say that depending on which network you, if there's a network out there that you want to be a part of and they have an opportunity for you to become a channel owner on their network, I can't tell you exactly what everybody's fees are. I don't even know what the going rate for that is. I do know what I paid, and you know, I don't even know if that's what other people were paying that were part of the network that I was on at the time. But an investment, it can be a few thousand. It can be a few thousand, you know, of an investment to get started, if owning a sub channel. And then, you know, it's a monthly fee. So you're paying a monthly fee to have access to provide, you know, it's like that portal to the world, almost in a way. But my method for, I wanted to do what not too many other people were doing. And so I wasn't, the most, I didn't go the traditional route of now just having paid shows on my channel, because I could have, I mean, actually I did initially, I went out and I allowed people to know that I now am a channel owner on this network and they have an opportunity to pay a small fee to have their show on my channel. And so I did that, and I had what, three shows, I believe, that came through that. But then I decided, once they decided that they didn't want to do a season two on my channel, I was now left with, okay, I don't have any content to push out because I'm not the one that's making a show. I had other people, you know, on my channel making their own shows, but I was now left without a show on my channel. So I said, okay, what do I need to do? Let me pull back. Let me just put a strategy together of how I'm going to have constant content on my channel. And so I created shows. I created shows and I brought in hosts for those shows. So again, it allowed me to be creative and allow my creative juices to flow and what kind of shows I felt the world was missing. I did research into what, you know, what the world was looking for and looking forward to learning more about or seeing. And I created shows based on that research. And so I created, I believe it was 3 to 4, maybe 5 shows I created and hired. I have hosts that came in to be the host for those shows. And they are now a part of my network, and we are doing the next season for those shows.
So when you say created shows, mm-hmm. are you saying, so I'm assuming these are not, for clarity reasons, these would have been like what, talk shows?
Yes, talk shows.
Okay. Talk and shows. So you created, I'm assuming you came up with the ideology of the show, and then you got a host and guests.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And these, was this, were these, were any of these hosts virtual, or were they all physically there at the studios?
Ah, so there's the beauty in it all, Miss Julian. So all of the shows that are on my network are actually virtual. Because we're in a COVID era, I don't know how long we're going to really be here. And I think we're going to be here for a long time. But because I want everybody to stay safe as possible. If they don't have to go out, then they don't have to go out. But for them to be a part of what it is that I'm doing, I actually just wanted everybody to record from home because we have the capability to do everything from home, including record. And, you know, another thing, each show had a minimum of 3 co-hosts. And so most of the co-hosts are not in the same state. So that meant that they would still have to be virtual unless they decided to fly in to be in one central location to record, which I did not require at all. So all of my shows at this point are virtual. There's one show that's on, and she decided that she would go to each individual person's actual work environment to interview them in their own space. But all the rest of the shows are actually virtual.
And these hosts are, so to create content, because, you know, I'm assuming, and stop me if I'm wrong, anyone who goes to your channel, there's content 24 hours a day.
Yes.
So I'm assuming.
It's called video on demand.
So it's on demand. Okay. So it's, that's actually a brilliant business model, because then you don't have to have running shows if no one is right. And these are all, so what is your concept for a great show? And I'm asking you this for a number of reasons. One, like I said, because there are a number of entrepreneurs out there who are looking and have ideas and have great creativity, but just don't know where to go. It can be a difficult path to navigate. I'm also saying that because I've had several people. I'm closing in on my 100th episode, and I have several people who have asked me that kind of similar question, like, what would I do, and when would I actually seek to make a jump to something like that, where it's video, not just audio, not just video on YouTube, but, the kind of concept that you're talking about. And I think primarily because if you look at my episodes, the topics that I deal with are real life, real things, exactly like talking to you right now is an important conversation, because we have to help empower people. We have to help lift people. We have to help people, break the chains, so to speak. And you made an important point earlier about, when you quit the job as a paralegal, because your brilliance, your value was not being respected in a manner it should. And that there's a lot of that going around. So that's why I'm dwelling on this a bit. I guess everyone will benefit from your knowledge that you share, because that's also something that even, me as a podcast, is something that, brings a lot of interest to me. So the shows that you created, have you ever, let's stick with those for a second. So there was diversity in there, I'm assuming. So tell me some of the topics.
So I would tell you that there is one show called Curves, Curls, and Crowns. And initially this show, we had an international co-host on that show, but they are an all-woman show, and every topic they talk about is for all women, no matter what race or size. But they talk about mental health. They talk about skincare. They talk about beauty. They talk about personal development, professional development. They talk about everything under the sun that has to deal with women. They talk about relationships and dating and marriage and divorce, parenting, parenting tips. They have a new season that we're actually getting ready to launch here in the next 30 days, but they talk about everything that deals with women. We also have a show titled In Her Ear, which is a women's health and wellness show, and they actually talk about medical. So that is like your 360 medical show, right? We have a doctor from Africa, actually Kenya, and we have a licensed mental health expert, as well as a licensed fitness coach. And they look at the whole being of a woman. So from the medical standpoint, the mental health side or the mental side, and then the fitness side. So they address all issues about women. We also have a couple of millennial shows, because I believe that the millennial generation are actually our future. So without so many people wanting to really invest time and energy into the millennial generation, which I think we all should at this point. But I decided to be at the forefront of that. I am hosting a lot of millennial live events or events on the network, as well as shows. We actually have more millennial shows that are coming, which we're super duper excited about. But in creating these shows, I wanted to have a diverse range of topics for each one. So with the Young and Thriving Entrepreneur Show, they are all about talking about career, relationships, dating, finances, entrepreneurship as a millennial, as it pertains to millennials. So anything that pertains to millennials, they actually have a conversation about it. We're gearing up for their next season for that show as well. And then we also have Millennials on the Move, and her whole idea for that show, actually our partnership show that one is, but she wants to highlight millennial entrepreneurs and talk about their journey, how they are overcoming their obstacles to having success in business to inspire other millennials to say, hey, they did it and you can too. So again, it's all about positivity. It's all about pushing out the content that people want to hear and want to know, but nobody is telling them. And I believe that as a coach, a lot of people, they tell you how to do. They don't tell you how. They tell you what to do. They tell you why you should do it. They tell you where you should go to do it and when to do it. But nobody is telling you how. And so I want everything that's on this network, I want it to be about the how. How do you overcome an obstacle? How do you start a business? How do you maintain your sanity, you know, during entrepreneurship? Or how do you maintain your sanity as a parent? You know, or if you're going through a divorce, if you're going through something in life, how do you continue to go on? How do you push forward? So that is really how we come up with the content, because it's all about, as long as you remember that you are providing information that's going to help somebody.
Well, that's exactly, yeah.
Tell them.
That makes sense, because you notice all the questions I'm asking you is more about the how, because you know, my audience, you know, like I said, they will be very interested in this episode and very interested in the how. You know, I can think of a few of my, I can think of one particular audience member who contacts me weekly almost, and she works for one of like the major TV networks. And, you know, so I get a lot of encouragement of people. I personally haven't taken this podcast. It's been pretty successful as an audio recording. Mm-hmm. But I'm very, you know, I'm just very interested in what you're doing. And I'm sure many other, I belong to a lot of podcast groups, and I speak with a lot of the people who are out there empowering people and bringing different messages to the world. And, you know, mm-hmm. they too are all looking to grow and branch out. So I think this is, you know, really great information. How did you, so you wrote the content, or you wrote the concept of each show, and then mm-hmm. what did you do? Audition the host and, you know, and then, so tell them about audition the host. I know I have my methodology of how I get guests on my show, but tell my audience a bit about, you know, how you came up with hosts and what you do to keep the flow of guests, you know, fresh.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing. Again, I didn't do the traditional route. So for me, along my life journey, I talk like I'm so old, huh? But along my life journey, I've met some amazing people. And when it was time for me to create the concept of these shows, I already had somebody in mind that I wanted to be the host for the show. So I didn't really do a casting call for show hosts, because I knew of their expertise and I knew of their professionalism. And I knew that if all I needed to do was give them the concept, tell them when to show up for recording, and just give them guidance on the run of shows, they'd be able to knock it out of the park. Because again, it's all about being genuine. It's not these are not scripted shows. They're not writing it down and then reading it off a piece of paper. They're talking about life experiences. They're talking about what they've gone through, how they overcame, because again, it's all about helping others. And so it's not anything that we've written down. The show topics, you know, we discuss those to ensure that the topics are on time and relevant. Not trendy, but relevant to what's happening today. and can, you know, become a classic, because you don't want to just do stuff that's only good for one time. You want to do it, but it'll be there for people to come back and they can listen to or watch time and time again and still learn from it. And so that was really, that was really how I selected the host. It was because I knew these people, I had already met them, and I knew that they would be able to deliver on the content that needed to be shared. Now, if I was to,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, going on?
No, go ahead.
If I was to hire a host, there'd be an interview process. There'd be an interview process because at the end of the day, I need people to be in alignment with what the brand stands for. This is not for a show. This is not for, okay, I'm now famous because I'm on TV. That's not what it's for at all. If anybody knows me, they know that I'm a background kind of girl. And so you probably won't ever know of me or hear me or even see my name if it wasn't for my PR. But I will say that I don't do things for show. I don't do things for, you know, the quote unquote clout of it all. And so I don't want to have people like that attached to the brand that I'm building and continuing to build. And so it's all about humbling yourself and being real about what it is that you're sharing, being authentic in how you're sharing your journey and your expertise. But if I was to hire a host, that would be the main things that I'm looking for. Somebody that is genuine, somebody that can share and can verbalize how they're feeling without feeling pulled or pressured into doing so.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of, you know, I have had quote unquote types of sponsors approach me. And one of the things that, you know, I've gone down that same path that you have, because I have a lot of concern that, you know, who I partner with only because I don't want them to change the message of the show, you know, and that is the whole reason for, you know, 247 Real Talk. It took the same thing you did, a lot of building and a lot of time to build an audience that knows that all the conversations are genuine and they're real life issues. And so when, you know, when people start to get attached to your show and they want to, you know, some of them come with abilities to, you know, to make you grow exponentially. They also want, you know, sort of, creative input. And that's where, that's the thing I struggle with. So about your guests now, are these, I'm assuming that these, shows that you created there, are they ever monologues or do they all have continuous guests?
So some of them are just the hosts that have the content. Most of the shows on the network are 30 minutes or less. So if you have to run a show, most of them will probably run about a good 22 to 25, maybe 27 minutes to allow time to have some commercial input. But we do have shows that are coming that will be having guests as a part of their programming. One show in particular is the Young and Thriving Entrepreneurs, and so we'll be having guests for that show for each episode that they'll be having for their next season. But we also have Lunch Like a Mogul, which is a business show. It's all about talking about how to launch a business. It's the how, right? So it'll be conversations about the sales, the setup, the branding, the marketing, pretty much anything and everything that you need to make sure that you are launching your business and that if you are launched, you can grow your business, expand your business, expand your services and your offerings as well. And so that show will have a number of guests. On that show, we actually have Live Through Your Soul, which is a show that's all about purpose. So she'll have guests on her show. That's Alicia Sales. So we have a number of shows that we'll be looking for guests for each of the episodes.
And I mean, I know that the million-dollar question that people are going to be thinking is like, are they going to assume that your income stream is from advertising? Is that correct?
That's just on. And, you know, I will share this with you that, again, I am a coach, and I actually coach women how to have several streams of income in their business. But that's understanding the difference between a stream and a job, right? So I have seven streams of income for the network. It's not just in advertisement. Advertisement is absolutely one of the biggest ways that we have income for the network, but it's not the only way.
Okay. So the seven ways of are they something you would share or something you wouldn't share? Yeah, because I mean, as I said, my audience, everybody knows about, you know, you got to get advertisements, you got to get, you know, you got to attract, yeah. You know, and that is such a difficult thing sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many people vying for the same, you know mm-hmm. companies that it's difficult. So tell those who have met up with that challenge and have gotten discouraged, tell them about the seven streams.
I would say, you know, let me just speak on the advertising part for a minute, because a lot of people want to go for the big gusto. Like, you want the $1 million contract, right? And that's good and dandy. That's something great to strive for. But when you're first starting out, that's not really going to happen unless you really just have connect like that, right? Unless you have already built up relationships and you have people that are willing to believe in your vision and what it is that you're doing, you're not going to just walk in the door and get $1 million contract. So I would say that. Start local, start with your local businesses and offer reasonable rates. That's in line with the service of your business or your podcast or your show or whatever it is that you have. Make sure that the rate that you offer is in alignment with the size of your audience, right? That your true audience, I should say. Just be very honest in that. Be humble with it, because there's a lot of local businesses that would love to have visibility. And if you can partner with your local community, that's building up your brand right there. Like, word of mouth is better than any other form of marketing, plus it's free. So a number of things that I do for my network, one is we have live events. And with live events, there's a number of ways that we can earn income from that. And so one is through advertisement from companies, but two is from the people that participate in it, depending on what kind of event it is. So we can have sponsorship, I should say, instead of advertising, but sponsorship for that event, as well as the people who are a part of it. Again, advertising is a big part, so you find other ways to include something that would make people feel that it's not just about the money that you're after. So one of the big things, we know that the holiday season is always going to come, right? So prepare yourself for what it is that you're seeking. What, you know, have a goal in mind. What it is that you're seeking, and create packages based on what it is that you'd like to, you know, earn for that season. And it becomes a package, whether that is with some kind of show that you're hosting, with some kind of package, you know, a different type of package that you're offering. But also on my network, we have a 24/7 business spotlight show or business spotlight channel. And so we have businesses that we're now actually, and a lot of these things is some of the things that we are actually implementing right now, because we wanted to set the tone for what the Mogul TV Global Network is all about. I didn't just want anybody on. I want to set the tone for who we are and what we're doing before just allowing anybody and everybody to be a part of it. We have had sponsorships for a number of our events, but now we have actually opened up our business spotlight channel. We call it the Mogul Shoppers Network. And so with that, we have businesses that will provide a business spotlight of their own recording, or their commercial that we'll put on that channel, and it's 24/7 viewing. So at any time, people can go to that channel and they can watch whatever's there, but they can also do a search on the network that will allow them to pull up any show or any commercial that has to deal with a certain topic that they may be searching for help for. And so that's another thing. And we have a number of projects that we are doing. I will say that we have a pitch competition coming up. So that is another stream you can just have, well, I should say the streams are having events as a network. Events, advertisement, product placement, and then sponsorships. Like, that's the main part of the money-making opportunities that you have.
Okay, that's good. That's good information for those who are in the industry or trying to get into the industry. You know, what mm-hmm. I find is when I speak with a lot of people off recording, is the struggles that they go through in starting anything and then maintaining it, and then it's you would know, and I may not know to. I would know from a different perspective, but it takes a lot of determination. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of, I remember when I started a podcast, I started and I have a passion about the messages that I share. But, when you join different support groups that, like for instance, I joined different podcast support groups and you listen to people who, say, I've aired now 6 or 7 episodes and I've only, I only have 20 viewers, and the response even from these, quote unquote experts is always the same. Don't give up. Keep going. Okay. Mm-hmm. For some people, it will take a day. For some people, it will take a month. For some people, it will take years. It's just about how passionate are you about it and how much are you willing to push. I think the challenge is that some people, like for instance, my podcast is a passion, but as I tell my audience, I have a job, nine to five job. Yeah. Some people want to do, there's some podcasters I know, that do, all they do is podcasting, and they just happen to be, when I asked them how they, about their breakthrough, more than one said, it just seemed to be the right time and the right place and the right listener happened to, upon my podcast, and that was it. Some people, that have major podcasts, they had connections, like you said, before they started. And uh-huh. that sort of helped them, bring interest to their show because, they were able to have, celebrity after celebrity. I've had a couple of celebrities. Most recent one, again, my show is not a lot about celebrities, unless the celebrity mm-hmm. has the same, the type of content, empowerment to offer. I had a nice conversation with Eric Roberts, Eugenia, I don't want to pronounce her name incorrectly, but she was the co-star on The Elevator, actually with Eric Roberts. So I've had a few people on there for them, their story was important because it's someone who came from very humble beginnings and took the path like you did that, was not what society, expected of you or society would advise mm-hmm. you to do. And they've, they've sort of, broken their own trails and made it to success. So those types of stories are really important. And, when I even read about you before we spoke, I think it's amazing that you set out on this kind of journey and have achieved it even to the point you are. And obviously, as many audience members would look at your resume and say, well, you have arrived. I'm sure in your mind, just like in mine with my podcast, you're just getting started.
Yes, just getting started. Excited about the journey. Excited. I will share this with you, Julian, is that I was actually just speaking to my husband earlier today, and we were talking about something, and I said, I was talking about one of my earth angels, and she's gone in heaven now. I actually have 5 earth angels, and four of them are gone onto heaven at this point. But one of them was my Aunt Selene. And I remember when I was 13 years old, I had gone through a very traumatic experience in life. And I remember her just holding me for days. She would just hold me and she would pray over me. And every time she would pray, she would end her prayer with, "Everything you touch will turn to stone. I mean, turn to gold." Everything you touch would turn to gold. Everything you touch would turn to gold. And so as a little girl, I grew up believing that everything that I did, I was going to be successful at it. No matter how long it took me to achieve that goal, no matter how many obstacles came my way, I knew that eventually I was going to succeed at whatever it was I was doing because I wasn't going to give up. And so that goes with that whole determination you talked about. I call it perseverance. I call it perseverance because no matter what obstacle comes your way, no matter how long it takes, no matter what the journey looks like, you have to be willing to keep going because 9 times out of 10, the moment that you're ready to give up, your success is just in the next step. And that's normally when a lot of people just throw the towel in. They're just like, okay, I can't take it anymore. I can't do it anymore. It's just time to let it go. But if you just hold on a little bit longer, just take one more step, have one more conversation, just believe in yourself and believe in your vision and your dreams, it will happen. It will happen. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. It would happen for sure. I am living proof of it. Like in every aspect of my life, I'm living proof of it. You know, as another quick example, I had an 18-year journey to motherhood. It took my husband and I 18 years to have our little people. And they're little people, okay? They are full of their own personality, emotions, and everything. But it took us 18 years to experience now parenthood. I wouldn't change it for one moment. But that journey is just like my entire life. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to continue to believe because that's what you're supposed to do. Believe in yourself. Believe in your dreams. If you dream it, then obviously it was given to you to dream. So now that you've dreamed it, let's now wake up and put some things into action to make it happen. I believe that anytime we see something in a dream or anytime we are daydreaming or thinking out loud or whatever that is, if you have a vision for something, you have a way to make it happen. It may be in just a conversation with somebody that you can partner with or within your own skill set and talent. You have it within you to make it happen. And that's what you should do. And that's exactly what I do with everything in life. There's nothing that I think of that I can't achieve. Nothing, okay? I believe in myself that much, and I believe in my ability to make it happen. And whether that is with me working with somebody, having someone mentor me, having somebody coach me, whatever that is, if I put my mind to it and say, this is what I want to do, it's going to happen. And that is exactly what I did with the network. I manifested that thing since the middle of 2020, manifested on it, and here it is. I didn't know it would happen this fast or in this kind of a way, but it did. And I'm glad that I stayed the course because now I am having the time of my life just being in my most creative space, working with amazing people who have shows on the network, collaborating with more amazing people, and we're getting ready to bring more amazing live events and different things to the network. So I am just excited for everything that is to come.
Well, nothing more I can say. I was going to ask you about, you know, giving me your final words of encouragement, but you've done it right there. So I'm going to wrap this up by asking you to leave us with some of your websites and your different ways of communication and connecting.
Absolutely. So it's very simple. On Instagram and Facebook, you can search at Mogul, M-O-G-U-L, TV Global, Mogul TV Global. You'll find us there, and you can watch our content if you download Amazon Fire Stick or on Roku. You'll find the Mogul TV Global there. And you can watch us on your web or your phone by visiting themoguls.tv. The Moguls, M-O-G-U-L-S.tv.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I doubt there's you've given us an amazing final thought, so to speak. I think that for anyone who's venturing down the same road, not just the same road, but any road in life, you are an amazing example. It has been absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I was so excited, and I have and you've met my expectations of hearing your story and of your journey and a story that anyone and everyone can follow, because we all have dreams. We all, many mm-hmm. of us, I think more people give up on their dreams and actually follow them through. And it can be very difficult, and there, you know, there's those testing times when things push back against you, and they're encouraging you to say, it's not going to work, it's not going to happen. But like you said, believe and you will achieve, you know. And so, Tamika, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here as a guest on 247 Real Talk.
Thank you, Julian. I appreciate you.
Okay, we'll be back soon. I want to say a very special thank you to my guest, Tamika Chapman, for an engaging and amazing conversation, for being an inspiration to all those out there who seek to step out on their own and face the fears and the challenges of doing so. She's a real example that you can follow, and I hope that you will listen to this episode and feel empowered and get the energy and the drive to keep going. As always, I want to say thank you to my audience for being an amazing audience and for making 247 Real Talk podcast such an amazing success. I remind you, you can listen to this episode and every episode of the 247 Real Talk podcast on your favorite podcast app. If you'd like to send me a message, if you'd like to connect, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, anything that you have to say that you want to be part of this show is easy to get done by being a part of this vision. Email me at podcast@247realtalk.net. That's podcast@247realtalk.net. Until the next time, take care of yourselves and each other.